We started off with intimacy with self. And I said to you, as clearly as I possibly could, that words mean something. When we use a word, it means something. The word intimacy means relationship. The word intimacy means discovery. The word intimacy means affection and love for yourself. Many people in history have said that if you have yourself, you have the world. If you do not have yourself, you will be lost. In fact, many people suggest that if you do not have yourself, then you are setting yourself up for codependency, enmeshment, and abuse. Because you have transferred the power from yourself to other people. We did that, it seems, such a long time ago now. That was Friday evening. It was a smaller group. But we did it. We did it well. And I also said to you, because it's important to know, that you have two words very similar. One is the word religion. We happen to be in a religious church. By the way, if you did not know this, write it down. Church does not mean building. Unfortunately, we have corrupted the word. So we say that the church needs a new roof. Churches cannot have roofs. The word church means people. So it's just one of those things. It comes from the word ecclesia, which means people. And I said to you that there are many religions. There are five major ones. But there are others. We have a friend from the First Nation, which is Native American religion and spirituality. But the big five, if you want to write it down, you can, is Christianity, Judaism, Hinduism, Buddhism, and Islam. I'll go a little slow for you, shall I, Nelly? Christianity, Hinduism, Buddhism, Judaism, and Islam. The biggest religion in the world at the moment, by a snippet, a little snippet, is Christianity. The fastest growing religion in the world is Islam. One of the oldest religions in the world, well, there's probably two. One of them is Judaism, which talks about the very beginning of the Garden of Eden. But anthropologists talk about Hinduism as being long before that. The most peaceful religion in the world is Buddhism, which happens to be the most feminine. Okay? So where there is a feminine element, it is less aggressive. In Buddhism, it has the feminine and the masculine God. So Buddha can be female or male. It's rather androgynous. Okay, so just that's a little bit of history for you. And I shared with you that I rejoice in your faith. I rejoice in your faith. Whether you are Christian or Jewish or Buddhist or Islam, doesn't I rejoice? But I don't want you to think, if you don't have a faith, that you cannot be a spiritual person, which is another word. And I explained to you that the word spirituality means energy. It means life. It means breath. Mahatma.
Bless you.
The second lecture was on intimacy with others. And I pointed out to you that intimacy with others is based on these three things. These are the only three things you have. First is your body. So Barbara and I are friends, by the way. So you can hold hands, you know, for Barbara. So you see that, hold hands, so that's physical. There's the mental, and that is when you say, you know, your ideas fascinate me. I don't agree with all your ideas, but they fascinate me. We really get along. So you have the physical, you have the mental, and of course, a very important area, which is feelings. So, if you want to try to estimate, is my relationship a good relationship? If you ask yourself based on these three things, do you physically feel comfortable with the person? Do you enjoy them? Do you enjoy being with them? Mentally, do you have agreement? And emotionally, can you feel safe? Now, when you heard Leo at the back, not this Leo, but Leo, saying that he came from a dysfunctional family, another word for dysfunction is broken. A spiritually broken family, which is a broken relationship. If you noticed, he said something which was very interesting. He said, I have not been home except for funerals. What I'm going to touch upon today, which involves the divine, is something that some of you may not have heard of before, but I think it will excite, I hope, all of you. But it is a relationship with God, higher power, or spirit, something bigger than yourself. And how you do that, how you keep it, how you stay connected, and how you know you've got it. And the reason I brought this Dan Brown book is that he says something towards the end of the book, a little bit like the writer of The New Earth,
Eckhart Tolle,
and Miguel Ruiz. By the way, complicated books, especially The New Earth. They're not easy books to read. You have to read them maybe 3, 4, 5 times. They're not easy. The Four Agreements are very easy. Anybody can read, you know, anybody 16 years of age, if they can read the Four Agreements. Of course, this is a novel, which is a bestseller and has been, it's already sold 13 million copies, but this is fiction. However, it's fiction based on some true things. Okay, so that he mixes Dan Brown history with story. He did the Da Vinci Code and Angels and Demons. So I want to read something from this before. Throughout these presentations that I've given to you, and by the way, tomorrow I'll be at a church talking about spirituality in Laguna Gardens, or Laguna Woods, the wood or a garden, I don't know which. But I know I'm going there tomorrow at 10 o'clock. I temper it down. I don't change my talk or my audience. So I will talk tomorrow about religious abuse because I believe in it. And as we found out on Friday night with questions and answers, it is not Buddha that abuses you. It is not necessarily Muhammad or Jesus. It is the people who speak for. And when you see the Crusades and you see people being killed and all of that bloodshed, just you remember, it is not. The founders. It is always the supporters. Okay, and they it's about power and control. Okay, so but having said that, some of you have left your churches, some of you don't go anymore. You're Jewish, you don't go to your temple, you have separated yourself from it because it doesn't speak to you. Sorry about that, because most of these teachings are profound. If any of you get a chance, who's Jewish, to help a friend get you the Kabbalah, it's very powerful. It is mystical Judaism. Mystical Judaism. And I started, in fact I shared with you, I started my journey as a young man, 12 years of age, the Jesuits. A long time ago, there was a very, very wonderful Pope. You would have loved him. He was Italian. His name was Pope John the 23rd. He was a big Pope. He was Italian. He loved to eat a pasta. He loved to drink a bean, you know. And he had a great sense of humor. One day, a reporter asked him, "Your Holiness, how many people work at the Vatican?" He said, "About half." That's the kind of Pope I love. I had very good experiences. They told me to think. They told me to question. They were ahead of their time, anyway, especially in England. So, a little bit about my spiritual journey. For 26 years or more, I was Episcopalian. But most of my work was done in unity. Unity is a metaphysical church. Unity is a church that is called meta, means beyond the physical. It is really exploring the spiritual. And it's called unity because it blesses all people on their particular path, although it is Christian. So it's unity of Christianity that blesses different faiths. So for the last 5 years I have been with them. And by the way, very, very comfortable. Very, very comfortable. The reason I'm very, very comfortable. that you saw in Dr. Martin Luther King, who adopted the teachings of Mahatma Gandhi. You remember how big he was. Most people don't realize. A Baptist minister from the South, Dr. Martin Luther King, adopted the teachings and the thought pattern of a Hindu when he said, regardless of whether they hit you, regardless of whether they set the dogs on you, do not fight back. He saw the success of Gandhi, which got the British out of India. And he never took up arms. What he said was, war creates war. Peace will create peace. You don't have to agree with that. The point I'm making is, he was able to think outside of the box. It was during my years as an Episcopalian that I was a drunk. So you're looking at a man who had a church in England like this, very similar to this, set over 600 years old, the church, but similar. And in that church, I was in charge, and I was the drunk. Very few people knew it until the alcoholism advanced. And I've said it many times, if you're an alcoholic and you drive a truck, you're going to be drunk sometimes in your truck. If you're an alcoholic and you're a nurse, there's going to be times you're hungover in the hospital. If you're a priest and an alcoholic, there's going to be times you're drunk doing the services. I remember once doing a funeral, drunk. And I followed the coffin into the hole. I'm not joking. It was supposed to stop. I dropped 12 foot. That's a hell of a drop. With all my robes. With all my room. But it was an Irish funeral. Nobody noticed. Next day is makeup. Cover the bruises. seen something, you hear what's going on, you know what's going on, and you pretend it's not going on. That's good enough. In my case, nothing was said. And so why would I change? By the way, the only reason why people change is because of consequences. If there are no consequences, why would you change? If you allow your child to use bad language in your home, don't be surprised if he uses it outside. Unless there are consequences. So now I'm going to do a big baptism. It's big. Some people have flown in for this. It's like 200 people more than here. And I had been drinking, but I wasn't drunk. Do you know the difference? I was drinking, I had about six. But I wasn't drunk, but I was mellow. You know when you're mellow? Give me the bed. I baptize the baby in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, Daphne. Daphne. The mother let loose such a scream. She said, "Father Leo, it's a little boy." Within that 6 months, I was a drink again, but a car crash sent me through the windscreen. If you say hello to me, I had 12 stitches at the back here. Only I was hurt. I went into hospital on the 3rd of July, 1977. My sober date is the 4th of July, 1977. Incidentally, England. By the way, it doesn't tell you what that will mean. The journey has begun. I left my country. I left more than my country. I left this country, America, I realized that just as my family gave me crazy messages, so had my religion. My God today does not condemn children that are born in Iraq or Israel or Thailand or India. There are many paths to go. If you read Don Miguel Ruiz's book, which is based on Toltec spirituality from Mexico, you will see that long before the church got to Mexico, there was a thriving spiritual culture. I don't want to harp on it, but I do want you to be clear, I am not against religion. I'm against religious abuse. I'm not against sex, I'm against sexual abuse. Be very clear. Some of you have been damaged as much by your religion as you have by your family. It's just that nobody's told you. And that's the secret. The secret is that long ago it was decided, by the way, not at the very beginning, Peter, who was the disciple of Jesus, was married. He had a mother-in-law. It was 800 years. Remember, Christianity came out of Judaism. Judaism does not have celibacy. Rabbis get married and have families. Very important in Judaism. It wasn't until 317, that's the 4th century, 317 years. 317 years after the death of Jesus. It's a long time. Your country is not this old. But all of a sudden, an emperor called Constantine became a Christian. 317. When he became a Christian, the whole of Rome suddenly, under his influence, became Christian. And Christian then separated from Judaism. Before that, Christians were Jews. For 300 years, they followed a Jewish rabbi called Jesus Ben Joseph, Jesus of Nazareth. Most people don't know this. It was never, you could argue, the intention of Jesus to separate. Nothing in his teaching said. But Constantine became the emperor. And then something horrid happened. Christianity became powerful with bishops and with emperors. And we then persecuted the pagans. And we killed them. Christianity spread through Europe, eventually went to England, Africa. The rest is history. Nothing to do with the teachings of Jesus, you understand. Clear. Now, I'm sharing all of this because how are you going to have a relationship with the highest power, or God, until you first get rid of the rubbish? intimacy to be able to dance, to be able to dance with God. So that instead of you being in fear, those of you who are Catholic will remember what I learned in the Episcopal Church too. We used to, before communion, do this. What? Lord, I am not worthy. Lord, I am not worthy. Lord, I am not worthy. And always I felt in the background Jesus was saying, oh yes, you're worthy. Why you beat yourself? Lord, I am not worthy. Lord, I am not worthy. I'll take questions later, from it, unless it's really, really essential. People were told, if you suffer, this is what was told to African Americans, Mexicans. If you suffer in this life, you'll be compensated in the next. So in other words, all the suffering you have in this life will be made up in the kingdom of heaven. So if you listen to Negro spirituals, it's called like the old soul music, it's kind of like when you get over the River Jordan, when you get through this veil of suffering, then you go to the other side. The problem is it kept you passive. I already alluded, don't want to allude any more to it, but Native American culture has almost been destroyed. Nations, gone. Very few people who are Native Americans can speak Cherokee, Ojibwe, Sioux, Navajo, Black. It's gone. Fortunately, Mexican people have kept some of the Toltec and Aztec, but it's very small. It's almost been wiped out. Believe you me, when the church moves, it moves quickly. The SS had 7 years to deal with the Jews. The church has been dealing with people for centuries. It knows how to move. Part of my relatives who were eccentric, because you probably realize by now, I am a little strange. I am strange. Years ago, one of my relatives was condemned for being a witch. By the way, the only thing I can find out about her before she was put to death was that she lived alone. She was very artistic. She didn't go to church. And she had cats. Not one, many cats. Somebody in the village said that she was a witch. She never went to church. I think she had a birthmark on her neck, and that was it. Once you were accused, it was very hard. So I shared this with you. I wrote about it in this book, some of you. I'd like to do it with you. I'd like you to know my work. The meditation is called Finding God in the Odd. O-D-D, odd. You say odd? Okay. Because I have this accent. I'm not going to do it, but I have this accent. People get messed up. God in the Odd. Listen, God punishes disobedient children. I heard that. That was a message I heard. I was a young boy, and I heard it. I heard it in my home. I heard it in my church. I heard it from my grandmother. God could be very angry. As a child, I lived in terror. I was told God, the Father, sees everything. I wondered if he kept notes. Would he remember to punish me? Would he punish my family? I became a hostage. I had fear. God was my boogeyman. Would he come for me in the night? Would he creep into my bedroom, tell me I was a sinner, and separate me from my grandmother and condemn me to hell? I didn't know. Shame. No wonder I felt like a baked bean, sliding down a can, always alone. No wonder I felt lost. I was forever running and hiding from my boogeyman. My teenage God seemed to be against everything. He was against fun, he was against change, he was against sex, but very much against sex. He seemed to be against other religions. He was against me thinking for myself. He was against really being human. He was against me. I was confused. Oh, by the way, then I found alcohol. Alcohol, fantasy, escape, insanity, loneliness, isolation. And then I found recovery. I heard somebody in a meeting say, it blew my mind, discover God as you understand him. Discover God as I understand him? Wow. But my understanding was judgment or anger. A God who condemned the unsaved. I was frustrated again. And then in my recovery, God came and spoke to me. And God said to me, why don't you rethink me? You're rethinking everything else. Find me in creation. Discover me in dance. Discover me in animals. Even hugs. Gamble on your instincts. Gamble on your instincts. It was the emperor's new clothes. Things are not always what they seem. Sex can be abused, alcohol can be abused, food can be abused. Well, then why not God? Discover God in the art. So God says to me, religion can be noble. It can expand your mind. It can teach the unforgiving to forgive. It can deliver hope to the poor and bring peace of mind. But if it's twisted, it can become a Nazi in robes. Religions have been used to control people. In my name, millions have been killed. Nations divided, families separated, artists condemned, tears. My message was to create power, never shame. Let the child in you play. Let the child in you dance. Let the child in you sing. Those who are unsure must question. You must question. The doubter needs to be cautious. The thinker needs to explore new territory. Rejoice in your difference if you're different. Discover me in the art. The world is not flat. Angels do not dance on pinheads. Slavery is always repugnant. Women are not inferior. No religion is perfect. You've always been changing. Think. I wrote that meditation some years ago. it's helped a lot of people who were abused. Some of you know I worked with sexual addiction in Texas. Many of the people who come in were sexually abused by priests. Intimacy with God, clean house first. Don't think you can go to an intimacy with a higher power if you have not cleaned house. If your God was a crazy God, then clean house. You can't move otherwise. Because you're going to be like a person who denies the elephant in the room. You can't just pretend it never happened and it hasn't affected you, because it has. So, let's talk about loving God. First of all, clean house. Two, rethink. You tell me what your higher power looks like. What does your God look like? Higher power, God, what does it look like? By the way, do some work on this. Write 3, 4, 5 sentences. What is your God like today? If your God is the same as it was as a child, because you had a loving God and a wonderful family, fine. Don't think, I'm not trying to say that everybody was introduced to a judgmental God. If you weren't, stay with the God you've got and dance and teach us. Teach people like me. But if you were told to keep in your place and you were not allowed to share your feelings because there were people see, they're pretty smart. I mean, I'm really higher than you. You're all looking up to me, little people. Like little ants. And I tell you about God. And you listen. See how high they put me? You think that's a coincidence? You think it's kind of like just a kind of architect's coincidence? I mean, does it mean that you can be heard? Yes. For this part. Is that God on the phone? Certainly does. Is it his mother? Because if it's his mother, I'll take the call. Now here comes the hard part. Right. Why you keep using the Serenity Prayer? You never wrote it. I'll tell you who wrote it. Richard Niebuhr. Now, don't get me wrong. I love it. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. But you're unemployed. Your husband has just left you. You're lonely. Why don't you write a prayer about your life? I have a feeling that in the whole of America, most people only know of two or three prayers. One is the Lord's Prayer. One is that prayer, Serenity Prayer. And there's another one that Catholics know. You've got to say it very quickly, though, otherwise it doesn't work. Hail Mary, full of grace, and Lord is with you. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and our death. It doesn't work if you say it slow. Now, why don't you write your own prayer? I'm challenging you. Write your own prayer. Then at least it's authentic. It comes from you. God, I'm having a really tough time today. In fact, I've been having a tough week. As you know, diagnosed with cancer is not easy. And I have to face it alone. And I'm scared. I place my hand in yours. And I go forward into the truth. Amen. Why don't you write your own prayers? At least then they speak to your soul. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Come on. You're jobless, homeless, and you're sick. I'll tell you why. Nobody told you to write your own prayers. You write your own prayers, and I'm telling you, you will find your God. Remember C.S. Lewis? I don't pray to change God. I pray to change myself. I don't pray to change God. I pray to change myself. God, I bring before you my anger, my control, and my selfishness. These are my weaknesses still in my recovery. I do not treat the women I know with respect. I know better. I place my hand in yours. I begin to forgive myself. And I commit myself to change. It didn't take a second. Write your own prayers. Our Father who art in heaven, Hail Mary, full of grace. It's been going on. It's okay. It's okay for a big group. Because when AA says, Leo, would you like to lead the group in a prayer of your choice? They don't mean that. They don't mean it, because I tried the Hail Mary on them and nobody knew. And that's what they said. They said, Leo, would you lead the group in a prayer of your choice? I said, yes, thank you. Hail Mary, full of grace. He went, no! They got angry with me. No! Our Father! Then why you ask me? Why don't you just say, Leo, lead us in the Our Father? Not prayer of your choice. Sometimes people are kind of strange, really. They don't mean what they say, you know? You know when you're sitting at an airport and the place next to you is empty and somebody says, is somebody sitting there? Well, they must be very small. It happens all the time. When I'm at an airport, somebody always comes and says, somebody sitting there? No. No, I don't see anybody. Little leprechaun. By the way, if that's true for prayers, it's also true for affirmations. And the reason is, you know yourself best. An affirmation for your life. Today I am able to say no. And that, by the way, that fits so much a codependent. Today I am able to say no. I've always saying yes to people. Today I believe that money is important. And by the way, it is. Anybody who tells you that money is not important has it. You get some creepy person who come up to you and say to you, oh, money's not important. Oh, really? No. Money's not important. Yeah, but I've got a child who cries because he's not fed. I live in a neighborhood that's not safe, and I've got a 16-year-old daughter. And you come to me with this crap about money's not important. I think money's very important. Not in itself. Remember when Oscar Schindler said, the list is life? Well, money is life. Anybody here who's poor knows what I mean. There is no spiritual advantage in poverty. There's no great advantage in being poor. Remember what John F. Kennedy said? Some of you really liked him. John F. Kennedy said, if you want to take care of the poor, take care of the rich. Well, who's going to employ you? Do poor people employ you? You think poor people are going to give you a job? Get smart. It's kind of like when you say to people of color, oh, everything's going to be okay in the next life. Yeah, but I'd like to get something in this one. Not the next one. Can I have something now? Now, if some of you are sitting there saying, but money isn't everything, of course I know that. But when you're starting off in life, it's pretty important in America. And if you have a family and a home, it's pretty important. So I say to people, young people, because I don't talk a lot to young people. I'm not really great with young people. But if I do get a chance to talk with young people, I say, you can either make it or blow it. It's your choice. It's your choice. And that was what was said to me, 19 years of age, sitting in a room in England, studying to go to university. Other boys outside playing cricket and football. It was a summer's day in
I'll never forget it. And I'm writing geography, and I'm writing trigonometry classes and exercises, and writing about a play on Shakespeare, and everybody's playing football. But I wanted something. Remember? When you have an abusive father, I wanted something. I didn't want, I wanted to get out. I wanted to go on and be a Jesuit or something. Now, I haven't done that, but believe you me, that education, how else do you think you can write books? By the way, even writing books takes time. You know, I said to you on Friday, these books are my babies. The books I've written are my babies. You have babies, I have books. They took about the same length of time. It was about 9 months a book. Don't you ever come to me and say to me, which is your best book? That's like going to a mother and saying, which is your favorite child? They're all good to me. Now, your choice now. Or is it partnership? By the way, you're going to know if it's codependent. Codependent, are you asking God to do things? Like, are you asking God to get you a job? Are you asking God to stop having your father hit you? Stop the molester coming to your door or bed? And is it working? Because it depends how you pray. You can pray, go God, get me a job, or help me get a job, or help me deal with this abuser. Say it doesn't. Do you think kind of God's codependent? Am I going to fix you? Well, take something you all know about. Well, okay, two things. Two different parts of history. We're all very pleased at what's happened now with the races in America compared with 40 years ago. Tell me, well, you think about it. By the way, it's good to have a disagreement. You don't have to agree with me. But do you think that the racism stopped because of the prayers or because of the marches? You don't have to answer. Do you think that people being shot, going to jail, filming something they shouldn't have been filming with dogs, suddenly alerted America to what the hell was going on? Or do you think it was all the prayers in the church? It's up to you. It makes a big difference to your relationship with God. I used to pray, God, get me through the exams. God, make sure she's not pregnant. I send a block. One way of praying. Now remember, if you're a codependent and you've been codependent with everybody, why wouldn't you be codependent with God? I mean, it's been your MO for years. I'll tell you what I think. I think God partners with us when we do good things. I think that when people marched and got beaten, some died, they partnered with God. They gave, there's a good sentence to write down, they gave their prayers feet. Do you give your prayers feet? you know why? I hear AA people say, I don't deserve to be here. I did nothing. Excuse me, you don't deserve? You don't deserve to be sober? You didn't do anything? I've heard it, by the way, from speakers in 2,000 people listening. And I think they believe it. I'm just telling you, I don't. Because I then hear them say they went into treatment, they went to a sober living, they got a sponsor, they went to meetings even when they didn't want. What do you mean you didn't do anything? Why do you keep saying you didn't do anything? I can tell you why you're sober. Because you did something. People who don't do something don't get sober. Unless the African Americans and others didn't march, they would still be where they were. Jewish people will tell you about 6 million Jews. You think they didn't pray? You think the Anne Frank family didn't pray? Think it stops the Gestapo or the SS? Native Americans being wiped out, was it God's will then? That we've lost the Sioux, the Navajo, the Ojibwe, Mohawk? Was that like part of the divine plan? So we've lost our spirituality? You have two ways of going, in my opinion. I partner with God. I know exactly what God wants. He wants justice. I must be prepared to die for that. He wants me to have friends, and he wants me to have lover, and he wants me to be happy. But he doesn't, he's not, by the way, God's not going to provide me a girlfriend. I've tried. I've tried. It doesn't work. And God's not going to find you one either. That's not God's job. And I'll tell you what happened. You listened too much to the church and you forgot Jesus. That's what you did. Remember that Jewish teacher? He said, the kingdom of God is within you. He said, greater things than I have done, you will do. And why you forget that? Dan Brown's book. You see, because you must understand there's a new group, species of human being that's being created. We're not the same. It's not the same as 50 years ago. Color is almost unimportant. Kids don't talk about color. 12-year-olds, not unless they're brought up in a racist place, they don't care. They play football. You're a good football player, know what color you are. You ask most people about somebody being gay, no, don't you touch my friend, he's gay, so what? He's not done anything to you. You've got a problem with him, you've got a problem with me. You understand that? It's not like, oh, let's get the fag. Those days have gone. One day soon, he says. One day soon, the light will dawn, and humankind would finally begin to grasp the simple, transformative truth of the ancient teachings, and we'll take a quantum leap forward in understanding our own magnificent and powerful nature. We are divine. You can be Christ, in my opinion. Can't be Jesus, but you can be anointed. That's what he said. He says, you said, you like what I've done, you can do greater things. So how come you don't heal the sick? Because you don't believe you can. You don't believe that you can change the world. Believe you me, we are changing the world. There's a new civilization. But you can't have the old relationship with God. That's gone. New people are finding new ways to pray, new ways to worship, new ways to make a difference in this world. Oh, if you don't want to change, you don't have to. It will change anyway. It's already happening. If you develop what I said to you, the model, you take care of your body, your mind, and emotions, you will suddenly find you have powers that you never had before. Just don't go to fear. You know what you like. Don't like what other people tell you. Like what you like. Don't spend your whole life trying to please other people. Be prepared to reach out of the box. If you like somebody, tell them you like them. What's the worst they can do? What are they going to do? They're not going to phone you. Now, is that going to break your heart? Are you going to lie in the toilet, upset? You'll get over it. But if somebody doesn't make a move, and by the way, that's the same with God. Dance with God. That means you have your steps and God has his steps or her steps. By the way, we've changed that even. In the churches I go to, we call him Father, Mother, God. In the last 20 years in the Episcopal Church, there are priests who are gay in churches. Women who are lesbian in churches. They're the ministers. In 20 years. In 20 years, it's changed. Gays were going to hell. Gays were doing things that were unthinkable with their bodies. Now, they're a bishop. Soon it'll be a pope. Well, we've already had a few of them. Just nobody said. So, clear house. Rethink. Write your own prayers. Write your own affirmations. Are you codependent with God, or are you apart? Question time. And don't sit on your hand if you've got a question. It doesn't bother me if you disagree with me. You didn't come to hear what you think. You can go home and listen to that. Yes?
When you think about Martin Luther.
Martin Luther? You mean Martin Luther the saint? You mean the German?
Yes.
The one who criticized the Roman Catholic Church? I think he was great. He was anti-Semitic. He got half of it right. He was against the Jews. But he was also against poor people paying priests for the mass.
Paying for their sins.
Yeah, but he was also anti-Semitic. So you can't have everything in one person, I suppose. Did you understand what I said, Isabel? He was anti-Semitic. He condemned Jews.
Oh.
Oh, yes. So he was half, he got some of it right. But I'm afraid the other, you and I wouldn't agree with, Isabel. He wasn't great with gays. Yeah?
Said he had a story about your dad.
Oh! It's here! Here's the ring! Before he died, it was the only thing he had on his body. And a tube. He was 91. And I fly over to see him, and he's got this ring, and he's lost weight. So he gives me this ring. He was very theatrical, my father. Not like me. And and I took the ring and I looked at him. And I said, what about the watch? That's a story. Any questions? God is your friend. God you play with. I have fun with God. My God is androgynous, masculine and feminine. My God doesn't condemn me. He dances with me. Oh, of course he's saddened when I do something so silly and hurtful to myself or others. But my God plays. And if you play with God, you stay young. Yes?
So how do you suggest that, can you describe a partnership with God instead of a codependent relationship?
Could you get me, because unless anybody has it, could you get me a book called The God Game It's Your Move? I'll show you. The God Game It's Your Move. Let me demonstrate. Partnership is, here it is. Partnership is, once you pray, you set it up. So, a very popular prayer for sick codependents is the prayer of St. Francis. Because the prayer of St. Francis is, not so much that I will be respected as I will respect, not so much that I will be valued as valued, not so much that I will be loved as loved. In other words, God forbid I get anything out of this. But you see, they stuck St. Francis on the top of it, and everybody, because he's the most popular saint. So who's going to go against St. Francis? Nobody in the right mind. Here's the prayer I wrote on. This is on partnership. Now, remember the setup. Once you get the setup, oh God, you have given me the power to determine my life. That's the sentence. God, you've given me. May I remember to include myself. You're not going to do it. Today I know that I can never love you or others until I begin to love myself. Then I put it in. With you as my partner and co-creator, I am discovering all that is lovable and powerful within me. You don't believe you have the power, then you haven't. It's as simple as that. You believe you have the power, we will go to the moon. Can't go to the moon. We'll go to the moon. We will have it so that this computer that is working on a fridge or microwave will one day interconnect the whole of the world, and people will be talking to each other and watching television at the same time. Can't be done. I have the iPhone. Why do you keep saying it can't be done? Kids are on a computer at 4 years of age. Because they don't have messages that say, it's tough, it's hard. You're 56 and you can't use a computer. In fact, you just learn how to do the remote on your TV. Hello? The sadness is, if you're 54, you're probably going to live till you're 80. You've got another 30 years to go, and you're not going to know anything. There was a lady, I'm not joking, she was crying at Bank of America because she didn't know what a PIN was. She said to me, "What's my pin?" I don't know what your pin is. What is the pin? She said. I said, "It's the four-letter word." Four-letter word. I said, "The four-letter word." F you, see. Bubble. It's all dependent on what you believe about yourself. Do you believe God's inside of you, active in you, radiant in you, or do you believe God's out there and you've got to get his attention? Now it's up to you. I don't care if you believe in the other. Stay with it. What I am saying to you is that there is a new movement afoot, and it's basically saying, claim your power. Don't tell me what you can't do. Tell me what you can.
But if you're asking for something, so you gave an example that it would be codependent to say, please help me get this job. So is there...
Do you think God gets you, helps you get your job? So if you don't get the job, it's because God didn't want you to have it?
No, I don't understand. Like, if you want to get the job, what would your prayer be?
Just my prayer would be, God, I'm going in for this interview today. If I am the right person, hopefully they will see that and appoint me. God's not going to do it. See, otherwise you fall into the problem of, if God's going to get you a job, God stops you getting the job. There was a Filipino priest who got all confused because he was on TV. And he was in an aeroplane, he crashed, he survived. 166 people in the same aeroplane died. The Filipino priest went to the cameras and said, "I am so indebted to our Blessed Lady for saving me." What about the other 172? You only have to think. If God gets you the job, then God presumably stops you getting one. And it's all nonsense. It's fed to you. You didn't think this up. You were told. I'm saying to you, have a different relationship with God. Partnership. Partner. I partner with God. I'm not getting on his shoulders. I partner with him. I don't care if it's a female God. Why did all this, not male, female? It's a powerful, superhuman energy. But what I do know is that you've been told to go like candles, and maybe, just maybe, your mother won't die of cancer. How sad, though, that if your mother dies of cancer, you think you didn't pray hard enough. What a setup. Sit down, God. This is good, isn't it? You're enjoying this, aren't you? Huh? Do you know how I know you're enjoying it? Your face. You've got a happy face. And that's why. I was telling them about faces. How old are you?
22.
22. Great hat. Frank Sinatra would be proud of you. So set them up, Joe. Hey, you have a question?
Yeah. So do you believe God has a will?
A will? Yeah, I think God's will or intention, call it will, call it intention, is first of all for his creation to be at peace. Every Buddha, every Jesus, every Muhammad, every avatar, every teacher said the same. Love one another, don't fight. Don't keep killing each other. That's why we put these teachers, men and women, on. So there's that question. Of course he has a will. Now you and I have to step up to the plate. Should this lady be condemned and made fun of just because she's got a different colour to me? That's what happened. By the way, in churches never stopped it. Churches never stopped slavery. You look at the people who stopped it. They justified it. But it, now you say, none of it makes sense. She's born black, I'm born white. Somebody else is Hispanic. So? We've got a garden going here. Instead of a flower. None of you have been told, were given permission to pray. You were told how to pray. When you pray, say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Even give us this day our daily bread. Say, he doesn't. Tonight, somewhere in Long Beach, some kid is going to be killed. Don't you tell me that's God's will. Some kid is shot. Don't tell me it's God's will. Yeah.
Well, I want to tell you that I think there is a natural law. There are laws of nature. Who set up those? I mean.
No, I believe in God. I believe in the laws of nature. But the laws of nature are foxes protect their young.
And some probably eat their young.
Only because they're fragile. They're not going to make it.
Well, what is do you?
It's an act of love.
What is the value of prayer?
Prayer is relationship. I've just said, this. You've got a choice. You have a relationship with God whereby you're asking God to do it all. That's codependent. Prayer is relationship. Just like me talking. You talk, you speak, you think. But you've got to work out, what's my part in the game? Tell me an example where you think, regardless of your life and actions and thought, God made something happen for you.
Today, through people, I came here, my grandson, this possibly his cancer has reappeared. I came, I'm furious, went to the meeting, and my attitude was somehow changed, I don't know how. So did I attribute that to God? To be quite honest with you, even though you might call me provincial person or whatever, I thought, yeah, there's some kind of divine thing in that.
But I mean, and you went to the meeting, right?
I went to the meeting.
So you went there.
Yeah.
So I'm not taking God out of the picture.
Okay.
I'm just saying you partnered with God. But you do agree with me you could have stayed home.
I could have stayed
but
home.
You didn't.
And I felt some. I mean, it just was one of those synchronistic things where things happened. My sponsor happened to be going, and she invited me.
Hey, thank her. She invited you. She was your God today.
Yeah, okay.
What I'm saying is, you know when people talk about angels? Here are your angels. Your angels are here. These are your messengers. You have freedom.
Aren't you puzzled a little bit by about God? I mean, I just say this. You act like
God is a complete mystery to me. I've just said to you, he's androgynous, he's male, female, he belongs to all the great religions of the world. I understand atheists as agnostics. My life is a life of change, but it's fascinating, it's mysterious, it's not scary. My God is on my side. You heard the meditation, I did. I was a God who was told God's going to get you. You do something wrong, he'll get you in the night.
And suffering? Are you saying that all suffering comes from us? I mean, suffering it just is. It's the laws of the things that happen. If you're, you know, my grandson getting testicular cancer, that's just he had those kinds of things going on in his body. I mean that. Well, who the hell put up those? Who set up the natural law that? That a young person, a child, could get leukemia. I mean, you know, there's a lot of bad things that can go.
Depends whether you look at it as bad. People are dying all over the place.
Right.
It's how you look at death. Yeah. Some people are here for a very short time. and they give you a very important message. Some people are here forever and you don't know what they're talking about. They're enjoying this. Yes, both of you. Yeah, first. What's it? Janice first, and then Judy. Dee Dee.
The questions on cleaning house and rethinking. I know I need to rethink how I see God. My God has always been that kind of angry, never been able to please Him, father figure for me. And I know that, and I want that to change, but I just don't know how. I don't know how to get close to God to help that change. And it's I have a lot of sadness about that.
You should. Let me try to address it for you, because you're not the only one. Here's the deal. Say what you were told wasn't true. And when you go back, it's like, what I was told about God, maybe it was the best intentions, let's give him the benefit of the doubt, to try to stop me being a bad person, as they thought. So they gave me all this fear of hell and kind of God. But say the message that you should have received is, God is loving and God is kind. God wants to play with you. God will always be there for you. God will never desert you. Remember the story of the lost sheep? God will always come and find you. There's so many beautiful things. You have to, just like you're doing with family, because you're ACOA, the family you came from is not the family you want to create. The model of family that you came from is not the model you would want your grandchildren to have. That's the truth. So you have to do a little bit of work with it. But you will do it, because you're ACOAs. Once we give you a challenge, da, 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 we're going to clean house. Da, 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 da. Yeah. No, no, can you just speak up, because people there are reaching.
How do you find a spiritual leader like me, though? I mean, I have talked to and gone to different churches, and I have never heard anybody talk to me.
Well, there are people who talk like I do. And, well, you found me.
I found you, but you're not listening.
Well, you've just put it out to the universe.
Okay.
You've got people here. Where do you live? Santa Clarita. Try something that you may not have tried. Try a Unity Church in Santa Clarita. I know the woman there, yeah. Right now, Unity Santa Clarita. Tell her you know me. She'll probably tell her I'll pay the bills later. Yes! Stand up and then.
Ready?
Yeah, ready.
You asked her, tell me an event where you think that God. What was your question? But tell me where you think that God did it for you or something. That you didn't have any participation. And she didn't answer the question, she told me something else. But I.
Just what?
I just prayed. I was walking in this dark bridge, and I saw a man, like half a mile from me, and I got scared, and I started praying. The bridge was dark, and
I got scared. Remember that.
I got scared.
Sherlock Holmes.
When I got closer to that man, the lights.
The pants down.
And explain to me why the lights came up.
Well, want to know why God didn't stop their abuse. Do you understand? The lights came on.
Well,
they come on every night.
No, it
wasn't
that.
No. Okay. Isabel, believe it. God turned the... No, believe it. Believe what you believe. God turned the lights on. You were already fearful, instinct. The problem with when you say, he stopped the rapist, is you make every woman who's been raped as angry as hell, because why didn't he stop the rapist for me? Why are you so special? But what you're saying is God stopped it. But God stopped it. Now, no matter what you do. Okay. I said to you, you don't have to agree with me. You can believe if you want. The lights came on. God stopped the rapist. The problem we have is with the Filipino priest. I got saved by our Blessed Lady's prayers. 200 people died in the airplane. Why didn't she save them? And that's the, you're always going to have that. You're going to have one Jew who's going to say to you, I prayed when I was in Poland. I went to this family, and this family protected me during the Nazi years. 6 million Jews died. He's going to say, God brought that Catholic family to me. You've got to think, if you think that's what happens, that God makes decisions, saves this lady, but leaves these, that's fine. If you want to believe that, what I'm saying to you is, I believe that even if the lights hadn't come on, that man would not have raped her. Because she had fear. Her instincts were already kicked in. She wasn't surprised. You'd have kicked him in the testes. You don't need lights to be saved. Anybody with the last question? Yes. Comment last. Question first. One question, one comment. Yes.
Can you do the quick version of ego state versus God state or something? Ego and self-will versus the God, being in partnership, say, with God?
Well, first of all, if the divine is inside of you, then what we're talking about is reflecting the divine, the kingdom, the power. God's power is within you. Express it. Somebody may kill you, but your power is undeniable. They shot Martin Luther King. Who's remembered more than him? Gandhi, Mother Teresa. You know? Ego is a word, and it was very much attacked, as you know, by people like Freud and Jung, because they said to go into your ego self is the arrogant self. I don't think you need to be arrogant to say, is it arrogant for me to say, I cooperated with God in my sobriety? Is it arrogant for me to say, I struggled, young men, for a long time with addiction, but I went into treatment and I went to sober living and I did what I was told. I did what I was told. And I've got 32 years of sobriety. Is that arrogance? If I write a book, am I not supposed to tell you? Am I arrogant because I say I've written books? Some people, I don't know what is wrong with some people. Some people want to keep you down. and say, all the glory to God, nothing to you. I think that's the old message. And I think God has cried for hundreds of years that the secret of your power has been kept from you. Many tears have been shed. Many children have been hurt. Many women have been abused. And now it's coming out. Maybe the power is always in you. Does that make sense? I don't think it's humble for somebody to say to a lot of alcoholic young men like this, I did nothing to get sober. God did it all. All glory to God. No, I think you say, God has blessed me. And by the way, God blessed me with a mind to use, and I'm using it. God blessed me with a body that I keep pure. I don't get it toxic. I am blessed. And I partner with God. You came to this conference to be provoked. You didn't come to hear what you wanted to hear. Do you want to make some final comments? And it shows.
My Jesus, I love my relationship.
I don't tell you. I'm not taking your Jesus away. I can't take him away. By the way, if you did not know this, a little bit of knowledge.
What?
A little bit of knowledge before we end. Remember, knowledge is power. The word Jesus Christ. That was not his last name, Christ. He wasn't the son of Mr. and Mrs. Christ who lived down the road. But you may not know what it means. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus was his name. Christ is Christos. It means anointed. It doesn't mean God. It doesn't mean divine. It means anointed, blessed. Jesus, the blessed one. Later people said about him, because, and maybe they were right, but understand it. Understand what words mean. Jesus or Christos. Jesus, the Christ, the blessed one. But that's a far cry from Jesus, the divine one, or the only son. Just so you understand, I believe this lady has been anointed. I believe everybody who's in this church here has been anointed. This lady is living with a sickness. She smiles and she's cheerful. And she faces her day. She is blessed. She's been anointed. Don't ever try to stop what God's power is doing within you. Otherwise, you will reach mediocrity. You were never called to be mediocre. You were called to be great. Don't forget it. Now, tomorrow I go to church in Laguna. This is the last time for me to be able to sign any books or for you to get any. If you want to get any, please get them. Okay, because I'm outgoing and I'm going to see Jesus tomorrow.